This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You better you bet on Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
Speaking of the football team, they beat the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday 20-9, and a game marred by just one of like the worst injuries we've seen in quite some time.
It was Kendall Fuller, and now Burrow, oh boy, clutching his left leg. Oh, no. Bengals head coach Zach Taylor has come onto the field as the athletic trainers and medical people now surround Joe Burrow.
I kind of want the isolated, whoever in the back goes, Spiro's like, yeah, Zach Taylor's come out.
Yeah.
I actually audibly shrieked like, no, when I saw this.
Fucking sucked,
man. And I think the Bengals were well on the well. Maybe I should have been not happy, of course, because I don't want anyone to get hurt. But, like, I was on my way to losing my Washington bet without that happening. But, like, obviously it goes without saying that, you know, we want to see Burrow back. And, like, the entire game kind of marred by that unfortunate injury for Burrow.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I have very brief notes on this game because I think literally it's 9-7 Cincinnati. 9-7. And, I mean, Alex Smith had thrown a gruesome interception right before halftime, too. 9-7 when Burrow gets hurt and Washington, you know, scores a couple touchdowns. Cincinnati's totally, you know, dead from that point forward, basically. So I'm not going to unpack anything from the box score here. I think a couple interesting things to keep in mind. These two teams, I think, provide a lot of volatility in their next week's point spreads for a variety, for a couple different reasons. So Cincinnati, because I don't think you can make a line on what Finley should be against the Giants. And the Giants are taking a lot of money in that game, and I think that actually might be justified. But I think that's a tough game to make a line on, and it's impossible to do it accurately, so that provides an attack point in terms of the NFL market. And then for Washington, they were down 9-7 in this game to a team that allows 10 yards per play to everybody. So, like, them winning by 11, does that mask the fact that maybe they're even worse than we think? And then, as a result, are they taking a little money against Dallas on Thursday? You know, that line dipped under a field goal earlier today, which I found interesting as well. So two teams where they play each other. The talking point's the quarterback injury. Going forward, though, maybe each team's game requires, you know, further analysis. Maybe some valuable bets there going forward.
Yeah, man, this sucked. Brian Finley sucks. And also, I just say this to Cincinnati. Get a fucking offensive line. Like, I don't want Burrow to be like the next Andrew Luck. The next, like... RG3, although that's not as great comparison, but like, can we get this guy a fucking legitimate offensive line so he's not getting absolutely crunched every week? Like, come on. It's just bullshit. It's fucking annoying, man, because I love Burrow. And I gotta watch this fucking, it's not Ryan Finley's fault, but he's a fucking slap. So they're all fucked. Fuck them. Hope the Giants fucking kill them on Sunday. I'm also a Giants fan. Bengals 4.5-point dogs against my New York football Giants. How about it? You want to talk about totals in the NFL? How about the total in the Giants-Bengals game? 42. Like it's 1942. And as we said, the football team 2.5-point dogs in Dallas coming up on Thanksgiving. The Ken Barkley victory tour continues here as Taysom Hill, it's the joint victory tour. It's Ken Barkley and Sean Payton on the victory tour as the Saints beat the Falcons 24-9. How about Taysom Hill getting the job done?
Fake to Kamara. Hill flushed left, looking, has no one going to tuck it away and run, going for the end zone. Hill in for the touchdown.
Sean Payton must have had like an erection. Maybe still has it from yesterday into today. Not only did the Saints beat the Falcons, not only is he retweeting former Falcons receiver Roddy White being the Falcons are going to stomp them, but his guy, Taysom Hill, Now, I still don't really think Taysom Hill is very good, but we have to give him credit. Got the job done. Saints, and the Saints defense really deserves the credit. 8 sacks of Matt Ryan, a smothering performance. Saints win the game by 15. Game goes under the total.
I mean, anytime you have a quarterback change and that quarterback wins, the quarterback's probably going to get the accolades no matter what happened in the game. And I mean, Hill, 18 for 23, 233, ran the ball for 50 yards and 2 touchdowns. So it's like, it's not like he was atrocious. They also scored 24 points at home against Atlanta. So, like, it's not exactly like the, you know, race car offense that we're seeing from some other teams or even from New Orleans previously. In that stat line, I think we also point out Atlanta, one thing they do literally every week is allow buckets of yards to opposing wide receivers. Michael Thomas, 9 for 104. And obviously whenever Hill was in trouble in the game, it was Michael Thomas. And a lot of their most productive drives were led by Michael Thomas. So I thought that was interesting as well. New Orleans defense, Atlanta offense was literally, this really the story of the game in terms of who won, maybe not what we're going to talk about next week or after the game or ask Sean Payton about, but just in terms of who won. So Atlanta's passing attack, was it limited by Julio's injury coming out, trying to come back in and kind of gut it out? 100%. You have to remember Ridley had, basically practiced limited all week and was injured as well and was playing in the game. So like this was a little bit of a beat up Atlanta offense as well. But New Orleans's defense, and you brought it up earlier, Nick, in the show, they're really turning into something, and the pass rush is turning into something. And you mentioned all the sacks of Matt Ryan. Atlanta also terrible in the red zone or terrible at converting drives into points in New Orleans territory. So, Taysom Hill will be the talking point. But again, like they scored 24 at home against miserable Atlanta. Like to me, that's less interesting than, the Saints defense holding the Atlanta to 9 points, really a high flying offense that was very subdued in this game.
The Saints defense has allowed one touchdown in its last 3 games. Pretty impressive stuff by Dennis Allen's unit. I want to give a shout out, by the way. Cam Jordan had 3 sacks in the game yesterday, was wearing cleats designed by one of my best friends, my buddy Carl Del Cielo, on Instagram at custom_Carl, does like custom sneaker designs, literally nice. Designed Cam Jordan's cleats after Killmonger, Michael B. Jordan's character in Black Panther. So check that out. Cam Jordan actually posted it, shouted him out in his Instagram story. And if you're into that kind of stuff, sneakers, custom designed footwear, cleats for athletes, custom_Carl, my buddy Carl Del Cielo on Instagram. Fantasy note, Alvin Kamara had no targets yesterday. That's interesting. The fuck? Michael Thomas, though. 9 catches, 104 yards. So Taysom Hill getting the ball to Michael Thomas. Doing his best Drew Brees impersonation. He wasn't bad. I don't know if he was good, but he certainly wasn't bad. You know who was bad? The Falcons. You know what they should have done? Drafted CeeDee Lamb. How's AJ Terrell doing for the Falcons right now? Yeah, you think that when I tweeted this, Ken, Falcons should draft CeeDee Lamb, all of Falcons Twitter, like, you would have thought I was the biggest idiot of all time. How's that looking now, dipshits? Bet you wish you had CeeDee Lamb now, right? Fucking unbelievable.
Turned into the Nick draft vendetta instead of the Lockie victory lap. Took a left turn there pretty fast.
Saints, a 5.5. Falcons fans, I love you. Saints, a 5.5-point favorite on the road in Denver. Total of 44. That's an interesting game. And as we mentioned earlier, Falcons, a 3-point home underdog against Derek Carr and the Las Vegas Raiders. Speaking of the Denver Broncos, in the somehow, some way, how the fuck did this happen game of the week, Denver beats the Miami Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa. But at the end, it was not Tua. It was the Fitz magic, and the magic ran out thanks to Justin Simmons.
Ahmed at the side of Fitzpatrick. Into the end zone, and intercepted, picked off by the all-pro Justin Simmons. End zone interception.
All right, so the Broncos win 20-13. Great effort by this Broncos defense, harassing Tua all game long. 6 sacks. Great job by Vic Fangio limiting Drew Lock's mistakes. The Broncos actually ran the ball pretty well here. So 2 discussions I think that we need to have, and I think both are on Miami talking points more so than Denver. Number 1 would be, how worried are we about the Dolphins defense after getting shredded on the ground by Lindsay and Gordon and otherwise non-existent rushing attack? And number 2, and the most important one, obviously, what do we think about Brian Flores' decision to pull Tua for Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, I actually thought in the moment, I actually thought it was like a sign of really good coaching. Like, I'm actually glad he pulled him. Like, it actually made perfect sense.
I agree. I don't get the people that are like, oh, why did he do that? Well, how about this? Because Tua was terrible and they had a chance to make the playoffs.
Right, and how about they had a fucking chance to win the game, not because he did it necessarily, but like they had a chance to win the game. And like, I actually think Fitzpatrick in that fourth quarter or whatever gave him the best chance to win. So, like the move, Flores also said afterwards the Tua is definitely going to start against the Jets. So like, it's not like this is some, brewing controversy or whatever. It was just, I think, a smart coaching decision in a tough situation. So like, do I wish Tua was better? Yes. I have Dolphins to win the AFC East. That's probably dead. you know, Miami wins turnovers in this game and loses, and what that tells you is that they had to be outgained substantially in the game. Denver wins yards per play in this game by 3.6. It's one of the most stunning box scores. You know, it really makes you question everything you thought about Miami the last few weeks. And granted, Miami was like, I don't want to say smoke and mirrors because that's like what I was pushing against. But like on a per play basis, it was smoke and mirrors. Like they were succeeding because of explosive defensive plays and explosive special teams plays and like, you know, efficient offense, converting mistakes into touchdowns. Okay, well, Drew Lock didn't give you a ton of mistakes like he normally does. And you also, again, them being totally unable to stop the run was the most staggering part of this game. Denver 33 for 189. This was like Melvin Gordon's like one good game he's going to have this year, basically.
Until he fumbled at the one yard line like an idiot.
I don't have an explanation for why the Dolphins had this happen defensively. I think offense, it's more like there are going to be games like this. There have already been games like this. That's sort of less surprising. The defense, I mean, I really have no answer for you, but I think, you know, I think Miami now kind of exists somewhere in the middle of the league, and, you know, maybe they got a little bit too low at first. Now they're a little bit too high, and I think, you know, they probably really exist as more of a league average team.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Dolphins, a touchdown favorite on the road at the Jets on Sunday. Broncos, +5.5 at home against the New Orleans Saints. Another victory lap for us to take was the Houston Texans taking down the New England. Game should have gone over. Kind of annoying that it didn't. Game goes under the total, but the Texans do get the job done, winning by 7. It was actually the defense getting it done at the very end.
Blitz is coming. Cam gets away. Stays in the pocket. In trouble. Throws it, and it's incomplete. Great pressure by the Texans defense.
To me, this game, Ken, said a lot more about the Patriots than it did about the Texans. And what it told us is the Patriots are not very good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think this was like some victory lap for Houston as like some long-term thing. I will say I thought Deshaun was really good, and some of his individual plays in this game were like actually kind of outstanding. Now, if you want to say, well, the Patriots are going to leave like guys open if Deshaun's going to find them, does that mean he's great, or does that mean New England defense is atrocious?
I mean, he led the team in rushing also. He was magnificent yesterday.
I mean, he was awesome, and he needed to be because, I mean, they can't run the ball whatsoever. So, like, Houston wins yards per play. Both teams put up a staggering yards per play in this game, 7.1 to 6.6. That's well over the league average for both teams. So there was a ton of offense. We wish there had been a little bit more scoring. We both had the over in the game, missed by a point. New England, it was weird because, I mean, we joked about this already, I think, in this segment. They're going to be able to run the ball down Houston's throat. Like, how is Houston ever going to stop them? Well, I guess if Houston's up a billion, that's going to stop them. Cam ends up throwing for 365 in this game, which is, like, wild considering the available receivers that New England has too. So, I mean, just not necessarily a game that played out how we thought in terms of like New England didn't run the ball very effectively, 24 for 86, but both teams, huge offensive numbers that didn't manifest itself in the score. But I think that's kind of what we expected. The last note I have real quick, I've been betting Cam rushing yards under for about a month. And again, as someone who watches this team pretty closely, like, I really think that they're like there's a concerted effort for him to not run the ball as the season goes on and he starts taking a few more hits. And we saw this a little bit toward the tail end of the Carolina time. Like, he's too valuable. They have like no one that they trust to come in for him. And it's so much better just sort of like long-term rest of the season for the team to just hand the ball off. We saw this again yesterday. Cam basically non-existent as a rushing threat. We're still seeing rushing yards props like 30, 35 for him. And I've been kind of jamming under on those, kind of like sneakily under the table. And I'm going to continue doing so the entire rest of the year if they're going to continue being lined like that.
All right, so the Texans, 2.5-point favorites on the road to Detroit on Thanksgiving. We'll talk about that terrible game coming up in a little bit here. And the Patriots, 2.5-point home underdogs against the Arizona Cardinals. Bill Belichick against Cliff Kingsbury. Things that make you go, Three more games for us to discuss. I actually can. I don't think the Jaguars were a terrible bet, but maybe they were.
Place the ball at the 20-yard line. That's now 105 penalty yards. In stride. Touchdown. Roethlisberger with a strike to Ebron.
All right, so Pittsburgh wins 27-3. Game goes under. Jacksonville never really threatened at the end to cover the spread. But Jacksonville was, what, down 10-3 at the end of the first half, and Luton threw that ridiculous interception at the goal line, which Pittsburgh later scores a touchdown to go up 17-3. Okay, you score a touchdown there, we're talking a different game, and maybe Jackson, now again, like Luton, I'm sure people that bet the Steelers would be like, well, that's kind of like what we're betting on. But Jacksonville had their chance. I really don't think it was a terrible bet. Maybe you do. I don't think it was that bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to take back some of my, like, Luton's the same as Gardner Minshew went healthy, and Luton's actually going to, like, you know, give us a lot of fire in these games. Like, all those takes really probably didn't age very well. Jacksonville was in Pittsburgh territory once in the entire game. That's kind of where it ends for me. Like, that just, I mean, he throws four interceptions. They're in Pittsburgh territory one time. They're never, ever, 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 ever.
Well, they won't win never, ever. Twice, right? No. That's not, well, I mean, he threw the interception down by the goal line, and they kicked the field goal. So that's twice, right?
Oh, that's true. Maybe it was twice, actually. Here, I have it right here. But just, like, again, like, I think the Luton takes, I think that's, like, probably where I would start here. So whether they were in Pittsburgh territory once or twice, which is what we're talking about. You're right, they were in twice. They threw the interception, they kicked the field goal. They had 11 drives in the game. They were in Pittsburgh territory twice. My apologies. Again, four interceptions. And I think the biggest thing to me, again, like, I don't really want to have a Jags conversation because I don't think it's very interesting. I think we know Luton's probably not, like, some up-and-coming amazing quarterback as of right now. Now, with more reps, maybe that changes. He becomes league average starter. Whatever. Pittsburgh in this game had 5.1 yards per play.
Or he's Justin Fields' backup next year.
Right. I mean, entirely possible. I think the more interesting conversation is Pittsburgh's offense. So Pittsburgh had 5.1 yards per play in this game. They have played one game. Depending on the league average has moved a little bit. They basically have played one game the entire season. And again, undefeated team. We think of them as, like, among the favorites to win the Super Bowl. They have basically played one game the entire year where they have over the league average in yards per play on offense. Against Cincinnati, they basically, like, equaled the sort of yards per play. And some of this is, like, their defense is, you know, creating a lot of turnovers. They're getting up by a lot. And so their yards per play is kind of sagging as the game goes on. But a lot of it is, like, they really have not had, like, what I would call, like, an outstanding show out offensive performance short of, like, Cincinnati last week. And even there, they were settling for field goals in a lot of situations. So, like, it's kind of interesting. You have an undefeated team where when you look at just the raw metrics, and, like, I watch Pittsburgh, I know they're a good team. Now, I don't really know how good necessarily, but I know they're a good team. But you look at all of the metrics and you just go, really, still not one time this season, really not one time except for against Denver in week two, did they have an offensive performance for an entire game that was above league average. I just found that very interesting.
But, and I will offer this caveat, and I don't have evidence to support it because there is none. I feel like if it came down to it, and I would not pick them to beat the Chiefs, if and when that's the AFC Championship game, I think they can score if they need to score. Like, we saw it in the Dallas game at the end when they needed to go hurry up. They can get it done in a jiffy. They've got three really good receivers, right, with Deontay, Claypool, and Juju. Ebron's a very good tight end. A competent running back in James Conner. Good offensive line. First ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, I think that if and when they need to, I don't think they care. I think this is just kind of how they play because they don't need to play a different way. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think that when it comes down to it, I'm not as concerned about that part of it. Because I think that if and when it comes down to it and they need to score, they're going to be able to score. Now, it may not be enough against Kansas City, but, you know, getting to the AFC Championship game, not the worst thing in the world. Jaguars, a 7-point dog at home against the Browns next week and the Steelers and Ravens on Thanksgiving night. Two more games for us to discuss, man. I can't call it his Mona Lisa or his Sistine Chapel, because those have already been given to us twice already this year. But, like, the fact that the Chargers didn't cover the spread, and I bet the Jets, so God bless. The fact that the Chargers didn't cover the spread, like, leading to fucking Keenan Allen going after the game saying it's embarrassing that we can't, like, it's like, and what, enough. Enough. Special shout out, by the way, to my man Joe Flacco and Jets tight end Chris Herndon.
Flacco to the end zone, touchdown. Catch is made by Chris Herndon.
Yeah, Herndon's just going to run the seam route in between the linebacker and the safety. Flacco puts some air on it.
He picked a Jets play. Picked a fucking Jets play.
Well, that's the play that covered the spread for the Jets. If you would have told me before the season that I would backdoor a game this year with Joe Flacco and Chris Herndon, like, I don't know that you could have two more unlikely candidates, but it happened because it is wild with Anthony Lynn. I know I shouldn't be surprised by it because it literally happens every week, but like, this was actually kind of stunning to me that the Chargers didn't win this game by 60 points. Herbert goes 37 of 49 for 366 and 3.
Yep.
They had a pick six. And they only won
pick six
by
in history.
Six.
The easiest pick six in history. Flacco throws and the defender's like
the
already
Wentz
high
one was pretty
before
easy
he catches
too.
It.
The Taki Taki one for the Browns was easy as well. But True. This one was real True. Easy. Like, how do the Chargers only win the game by six? And the answer is Anthony Lynn. He's incredible. I hope he never gets fired, actually.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Is like, I feel I'll give myself a lot of credit here, but then I think, you know, you and I, through discussions, we just piggybacked on this where it's like, we've been talking about this since like week two. Like, we literally talk about this every week. And I kind of feel like we're some of the only people that have been on it from a betting standpoint. Like, we had Rufus on last week. We had Rob Pizzola on. I asked both of them about this phenomenon. I'm like, hey, like, do you ever handicap a team differently because the coach literally always plays one possession games, no matter who the opponent is? Good, bad, best team, worst team, it doesn't matter. Like, I've done this bit, this thing I'm doing right now, I've done this 15 times already this year. Like, this is like old, this is like the greatest hits record for You Better, You Bet. Like, me talking about Anthony Lynn when he's more than a touchdown favorite or more than a touchdown underdog. Like, again, like, I needed a little more with Joe Flacco instead of Darnold, but like, I was willing to admit, like, I think the Jets are right, but like, I just needed 10 and a half instead. It was just, it's amazing. Like, the Jets won yards per play in this game. And at one point, with 10 minutes to go in the second quarter, Herbert was over 200 yards and Keenan Allen had 9 catches. And we were early second quarter, the Jets covered. Like, that's amazing. So just, again, like, I honestly think kind of another feather in the cap of, like, an awesome handicapping technique that you and I have used on the show for a specific coach. And I agree with you, like, I don't want Anthony Lynn to go anywhere. Like, this is a team we got figured out. This is a team we got locked down on spreads, you know, going forward. Like, I hope they never get rid of them.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You know what I can't wait to do? Bet the Chargers on Sunday on the road in Buffalo as a 6-point underdog.
Told you I already had it written down? What if I told you
I mean, I'm just the lock of all time. Chargers, like, 6 or more underdog, take the Chargers. Yep. Chargers as 6 or more favorite, take the other team. We need to sign Anthony Lynn to a lifetime contract so we can keep making money on this. Chargers on the road in Buffalo, 53.5. Jets, a 7-point home dog against the Dolphins. And we'll close out with the final Locky victory lap here. I mean... Panthers, but I don't know what piece of shit soundbite do we have from this piece of shit game, guys? Whatever it is, just fucking play it.
33 at the 17. Walker, protection collapsing late, but Samuel open in the end zone. He's got it for the touchdown.
I'm not really interested in having a Carolina Panthers discussion here. I just want to, like, bury Matt Patricia, who's like, I you couldn't have a team. Just talk. I got nothing. It's the fucking... This team is so poorly coached, it's unbelievable. And not even in a way that's fun, like with the Chargers.
Carolina won a game 20-0 where their quarterback threw two picks in the end zone.
two of the worst end zone interceptions you'll ever see. And like the narrative coming out of the game is that like he's good. That's how bad Lions are.
Right, exactly. Look, like this makes it pretty easy to game plan if you're Carolina. So like I'm sitting there on Sunday and I get to do this in hindsight because I bet on it and talked about it and won, so I get to do this. I'm sitting there on Sunday morning and I started tweeting because I was like, I talked about it on Friday on our pick segment. I'm just like, wait a minute. Like, just wait, just hold on a second here. So Matthew Stafford, who's playing hurt, is going to start. And they have no other healthy players on the roster from a skill position standpoint, except for Marvin Jones. Like Galladay, not playing. DeAndre Swift, not playing. Even Amendola, not playing. Stafford's playing hurt. Okay. And they're favored on the road against a team that would coach circles around them. Someone explain this to me. Like, I don't understand. And then Sunday morning, I tweet the same thing. And it's like, sometimes I just don't understand. Like, NFL markets, they make a ton of sense on a day-to-day basis. They're extremely, again, a ton of money is bet into them. But then occasionally you get these weird games where a quarterback injury dictates exactly what the line should be. And I'm just looking at it, just scratching my head. Like, I don't understand. And literally everything that I thought kind of played out. I mean, Detroit is like 3 yards per play. I don't want to talk about either team. It was just like, it was Patricia versus Matt Rule. And we favored Patricia on the road with a hurt quarterback and no players. Like, Adrian Peterson's getting, just everything about this was hilarious. Like, everything we hate about Detroit came out in this game. It was wonderful.
All right, I got nothing else to say. Lions, a 2.5-point dog against the Houstons on Thanksgiving. Panthers will travel to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. So that was the rapid-fire recap for Week 11 in the National Football League.